This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
The moment of shock is just unforgettable.
From CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's Baby, available now.
Der Handel an den Weltfinanzmärkten ist nicht einfach. Doch nur weil der Handel etwas schwierig sein kann, heißt das nicht, dass Ihr Broker es auch sein muss. Bei Kapital.com möchten wir Ihnen den Handel so einfach wie möglich machen. Ganz gleich, ob Sie ein Konto eröffnen oder eine Position auf unserer übersichtlichen, benutzerfreundlichen Plattform eröffnen möchten. Schauen Sie noch heute bei Kapital.com vorbei und finden Sie heraus, wie wir Ihnen helfen können, intelligenter zu handeln. CFDs sind mit einem hohen Risiko behaftet. 70% der Anleger verlieren Geld.
One summer day in 2024, I was contacted by a man who I'd only briefly met in Shanghai.
Hello. Do you have the contact information of reporters outside of China? I need it urgently. Thank you.
To protect his identity, I'm going to call him Kay. Kay told me he'd been arrested by the police, locked up and tortured in a psychiatric unit for openly criticizing China's COVID rules.
I spoke out during the pandemic. I said the COVID policy violated our rights and made it difficult to see a doctor or get food. The police arrested me for this. They sent me to a psychiatric hospital to be tortured. They said I had mental problems and locked me up.
Having spent most of my 20s in Shanghai, I knew all about China's strict censorship against anything politically sensitive. But I'd never heard about people being forced into psychiatric units where they were subjected to mind-bending treatment just for protesting. Kay and I spoke every day for a month. Then, all of a sudden, Kay went offline, silent. I was really worried, and I felt I owed it to him to investigate what's happening to protesters in China. I'm Nima Pratton. I've spent months working with journalists to expose a story that China is trying to hide. This is Troublemakers, Drugged, Framed and Detained, a BBC Eye investigation for the documentary from the BBC World Service. In the short video, we can see a young man wearing glasses, holding up his phone on speaker mode, talking with the police. He is visibly frustrated, asking the police about what they've done to his family in China and accusing them of threatening him. Have you no shame? He asked. I want to meet him and find out what happened to him. After a 15-hour flight, I landed in New Zealand. It's a sunny day in Dunedin. Despite being the second largest city in the South Island, life feels tranquil here. This is where the young man in that video now lives. His name is Junjie. Dark hair, slightly built, and wearing a wind jacket with a Manchester United logo on it, he greets me at the door.
Hi, Junjie. Hi, ni hao, ni hao.
Ni hao.
Zen yang?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Can I come in?
Yes.
I follow him into the hallway and then enter his room. Imagine a stereotypical student room, clothes thrown on the floor beside an empty, open wardrobe of hangers, a makeshift kitchenette in the corner to cook things like instant noodles. Then we sit down and Junjie tells me the details of his ordeal that started in November 2022.
At that time, I was so angry. COVID-19 hurt people a lot. And we hoped that Xi Jinping, he could stop the harmful policy. So I planned to protest.
The protest Junjie is talking about was part of a series of demonstrations across the country called the White Paper Protest. People held up blank pieces of paper representing everything they couldn't say. The demonstrations were sparked by the death of 10 people in an apartment fire in Urumqi, in northwest China. It was thought that the strict lockdown rules prevented victims from escaping.
Xi Jinping!
Protesters chant that President Xi Jinping should stand down. Across China, these protests spread like wildfire. Inspired by the white paper protests, Jinjie decided to take part. He was studying at the Central University of Finance and Economics in the capital, Beijing.
Maybe 8 o'clock, I went to the seminar in front of the teaching building, but only then for 5 minutes, because some professors and some workers in the university, they noticed me and they forced me to a meeting room. The university asked my father to bring me back to my hometown.
Jinjie was sent home to Nantong, southeastern China.
How was it when you first saw your father? Was he angry with you? What did he say to you?
He asked me, Jinjie, why did you do these things? What would happen to you and our family?
On the day he turned 18, his father called the police. He had to hand over his phone, iPad and laptop. The next morning, he saw two men arrive in a black car. He was forced to get in.
They sent me to the mental hospital, and the doctors told me that I was in a very serious mental disease. I have to stay here for the treatment. Then they tied me on a bed. I tried to,
It's okay.
I can't explain it.
Do you want to say it in Mandarin or you don't want to say it at all?
他们说你在精神分裂症。
Jinjie says they told him he was schizophrenic. He is visibly distressed and breaks down during our interview, but he's determined to tell his story. I ask how they diagnosed him.
The nurses and doctors repeatedly told me because of my views on the party and the government, then I must be mentally ill. It's terrifying.
What do you think your parents thought about this diagnosis? Do you think they agreed?
Even tearfully, I still didn't know their real thoughts. Yeah, I think my father, he was forced by policemen because he is a member of CCP and he works for the government, so he had to make a choice.
Just over a month after being discharged from the first detention, Jinjie was once again arrested. China was still under one of the toughest and longest lockdown measures in the world. To make matters worse, a firework ban was issued over Chinese New Year. Jinjie defied the ban and made a video of fireworks going off. Someone uploaded it and the police managed to link it to him. He was charged with picking quarrels and making trouble, the catch-all crime often used to silence criticism of the government. He says he was forcibly hospitalised again, although he couldn't find, and I've not seen, the medical records for his second hospitalisation.
During the 2 months, the policemen, they came to see me several times, and they asked me to sign on some fields. Yeah.
And what was that for?
They didn't allow me to read it. I just saw the title. In China, we call it 寻衅滋事. It's like a troublemaker. Sorry, I think it's better for me to speak in Mandarin.
Yes, please.
这些文件后来也是被我父亲...
Jinjie says that his father took the document away and refused to show it to him. Then one day, they told him he could leave the hospital. After being discharged, Jinjie was prescribed antipsychotic drugs. He says in the following months, his dad would make trips to the hospital to collect more medication.
Did you continue to take the medicine all that time?
Yes.
How long was that?
From April, maybe, after I was released, until August. Two teachers, taking medicine make me feel like my brain was quite a mess.
Did you ever try and stop taking the medicine?
I couldn't do this. When I was in hospital, the nurses, if you didn't want to take the medicine, they were like this.
Force you.
And even I was released, my father, you know, because the policemen, they would go to my home and check it. So I have to take it.
Junjie tried to move on with his life and got accepted onto a computer science course in New Zealand that was due to start in October 2023. In August that year, Junjie spotted a police car parked outside his family home. He panicked, fearing that he would be readmitted to a psychiatric hospital.
Most times, the policemen, they wear plain clothes, but I don't know why this time they drove a police car to my home. To tell the truth, I was quite frightened about this. And I planned that maybe I should leave China as soon as possible.
3 days later, he made his move. He told his parents he was going back to university in Beijing, but instead headed to Hong Kong.
I bought my plane tickets. And fortunately, on August 18th, early morning, I arrived in Auckland.
So you didn't get to say goodbye to your parents or your friends?
No.
On his way, Junjie started posting accounts of his ordeal in the hospital. Within minutes, his father called. The police were also on the call, threatening him. He recorded and shared it with us. This conversation is voiced by actors.
The more you post online, the more your family will suffer. You insist on your freedom of speech. You think that in New Zealand we can't do anything. You're wrong. We can still get you.
The police demanded that he go back to China. Junjie's father also asked him to delete everything that he posted online and return home. Junjie believes his family were interrogated.
My mother sent me messages or called me many times. She told me on the phone that when I arrived in New Zealand, my family was taken away by the police. My family, I really hope they are safe and sound. Why does the CCP have to captively punish and makes my family pay the price?
It's hard witnessing a family tearing itself apart. China's mental health law, passed in 2012, was meant to stop the abuse of psychiatric detention. But it seems that the police are still able to silence troublemakers in psychiatric hospitals. And for the victims seeking justice, the legal system is stacked against them. You're listening to The Documentary on the BBC World Service.
The OB does the ultrasound, and I'm looking at the monitor, and there's no baby.
This is the story of a young woman who faked pregnancy again and again.
Story after story after story.
Targeting birth workers with a web of lies.
That this was a pregnancy via assault.
She was going through a stillbirth at 24 weeks.
From CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's Baby, available now.
Geht es Ihnen nicht auch auf die Nerven, wenn ein Unternehmen mit all seinen Auszeichnungen prahlt? Uns auch. Fühlt sich so aufgesetzt an, oder? Mit uns von Kapital.com können Sie sich also wieder Ihrem Podcast widmen. Übrigens haben wir bei den 2024 Online Money Awards die Auszeichnung Best Overall Trading Plattform erhalten. Oh, ups. Kapital.com. Viel besser in Sachen Trading als in Sachen Werbung. CFDs sind mit einem hohen Risiko behaftet. 70% der Anleger verlieren Geld.
We're back online, investigating new leads. We find a case of a man who has taken the police to court, accusing them of illegally assessing him as mentally unwell and for unlawful detention at a psychiatric hospital. He was hospitalised for over a month in 2023. It's rare for citizens in China to take the authorities to court. I want to meet him. It would be too risky for us to meet in China, and he's now closely monitored by the authorities. So we arranged to meet at a discreet location in Hong Kong. To protect his identity, somebody else is voicing his words, and I'll call him Lee. We sit down in a nondescript room. Frosted windows allowed in a little natural light. Lee says his ordeal started in November 2023, when he joined a vigil for China's former premier, Li Keqiang, the second most powerful man in the Communist Party, and a very popular politician. His sudden death prompted tributes and grief across China.
There were a lot of people and so many flowers. The whole atmosphere felt rather sad.
Already discontented with the authorities, Li took the opportunity to protest. He had prepared a sign criticizing the local police.
I lifted it up, and immediately people grabbed my arms. The scene was chaotic.
Li says the police interrogated him all night. And after insisting that he'd done nothing wrong, they sent him to a psychiatric hospital without his consent.
I didn't know until their car drove up to the gate. I was really surprised. At first, I felt really scared. They tied me to the bed. My hands and feet were secured.
China's mental health law specifies that patients should only be involuntarily hospitalized if they pose a danger to themselves or others, and that involuntary hospitalization should only happen after a rigorous assessment process. The law also makes it illegal to use psychiatric treatment or restraint as a punishment or to enforce treatment of people who do not have mental illnesses.
My father said the police came to the house. They pull him from his bed and force him to go to the police station. My father is a simple man. He doesn't know how to read, and he respects what the police and government say.
On the second day of his detention, Li says he was told by the doctors that he wasn't ill. But he claims the police wouldn't allow his parents to sign the discharge papers. And he was hospitalized for 45 days. Li now wants to stop the police from using his medical record as a reason to hospitalize him again. So while in Hong Kong, he went to get an independent psychiatric assessment. He shares the result with me.
The doctor told me that I can only assess you on your condition today. You don't have any problems. I'm quite pleased, but I can't say I am relieved. I don't know what will happen in the future. Maybe they'll find an excuse to get me again. It's hard to say.
And that's why he decided to take the police to court.
If I don't sue the police, it's like I accept being mentally ill. This will have a big impact on my future and my freedom, because the police can use it as a reason to lock me up at any time. If you don't fight for your rights, you're like a zombie.
Huang Shuitao was involved in drafting China's mental health law. She first found flaws in the law back in 2006 when she represented a client who was wrongfully sent to a psychiatric hospital. Since then, she spent years advocating for improving the legislation. But she says things are getting worse.
The reason for the injustice lies in the doctor's misdiagnosis. Civil society has been weakened recently. There have been many more cases of abuse of psychiatric treatment.
I also want to know why the police needed relatives like Li's father to sign his hospital admissions papers.
I have come across lots of cases like this. The police want power while avoiding responsibility. In many cases, I name the person who signed the admission papers as the defendant. So maybe to avoid liability, the police forced the family to sign.
The Chinese police seem to use the system to detain protesters.
I think whoever has a little bit of power and anyone who knows the shortcomings of this system can abuse it. If there is no challenge from civil society, people with power will make decisions for you. saying it's for your own good. Not only the police, but everyone can abuse it.
From what we've seen and heard, it was clear what role the police played. But I want to know more about the doctor's involvement. Because of the strict censorship, it's very difficult to talk to doctors in China. Talking to foreign media, such as the BBC, without permission could get them into trouble. The only option is to go undercover. We found an online Chinese medical platform called Good Doctor, which allows patients to book consultations. It lists nearly all the major hospitals in mainland China. We approached doctors working at the hospitals we know are involved with forced hospitalizations. To protect the identity of our undercover journalist and to access the domestic healthcare platform, we secured a burner phone, which is a temporary mobile registered in mainland China. This conversation is voiced by actors.
Hello.
We've invented a story about a nephew and told the doctors that he's been hospitalised for posting anti-government comments online.
Have you ever come across these situations in your hospital where the police send patients to your hospital for psychiatric treatment?
The doctor confirms that posting politically sensitive comments online is seen as troublemaking.
If the online comments are considered criminal, then a hospital could be needed to assess the person's mental health. The psychiatric department has a type of admission called troublemakers. For example, if he is outside attacking people, this is troublemaking behavior. The police might think that his online comments are disturbing public order. They are essentially the same.
I was shocked to hear that the psychiatrist admit that posting anti-government comments was ground for admission to his hospital. We then spoke to a doctor from the hospital where Junjie was held to ask why the police visit patients accused of troublemaking.
The police are focused on public security. If you're registered as mentally unwell, the police will check up on you at home to make sure you take your medicine. If you don't take it, you might break the law again.
Our undercover calls confirm that doctors are working with the police in China to detain people in psychiatric units for troublemaking, especially if this trouble is linked to anything political. And the consequences are severe. On the 22nd of November 2024, Li, whom I'd met in Hong Kong, receives the court's decision on his lawsuit against the police. He opens the document enclosed in the envelope.
They dismissed my appeal and upheld the original ruling. The whole process is crap. We hear our leaders talking about the rule of law. If we encounter illegal situations, can we really defend our rights? We never dreamed that one day we could be locked up in a mental hospital. So I feel an increasing kind of despair.
On China's official website for court decisions, we found that another 112 people took the authorities to court, claiming they'd also been illegally sent to psychiatric hospital. More than 40% of these cases were linked to protests against the authorities. Only two won their cases. But the site is censored. Five other cases we'd investigated are missing from the database. Lawyer Huang believes the crux of the issue is the lack of accountability.
If there is no challenge from civil society, people with power will make decisions for you, saying it's for your own good. The most important thing here is that there is no legal risk or abuse of psychiatry in hospitals.
Back in New Zealand, it's been difficult for Junjie to recount his experiences to me. He tells me that he's become a Tibetan Buddhist and says that his faith really helps him. My dad is Tibetan, and I'd heard that the world's southernmost Tibetan stupa was half an hour away. But when I asked about it, he He said he'd never been. He doesn't have a car or money to get there. So I decided to take him for a change of scene. The Portobello Stupa is on a hilltop with expansive views of the surrounding landscape and the glistening sea. We pray, then Ginger begins to tell me about his religious journey.
I have some Tibetan friends. He was studying in Beijing and he introduced a Tibetan temple to me. Yeah.
Wow.
Then I remember every morning I just pray for Tsongkhapa Lama.
How did that help you?
It made me calm down.
How was your mental health at that time? Do you understand?
Sorry. I don't have any mental disease, okay. They forced me to take medicine and they beat me, they tied me on the bed and they hurt me a lot.
The word mental health seems to have triggered something in him, which, given everything he's told me, is completely understandable.
It's totally valid to be angry. I mean, that was my point.
Sorry for this. It's my fault, sorry.
Ginger, it's not your fault.
You know, sometimes I think most foreign people, they can't understand what's happening in China.
Mm.
If you enter government, you are in mental disease. It was detected by the policeman. Doctors or nurses, they just follow the rules made by policemen.
The doctor told you that in the hospital, that yes. It wasn't them that diagnosed?
In fact, at first, they never did any check on me. Just think, because you entered the government, so you have mental disease.
Ginger and I then take a walk on a nearby beach. Seals and sea lions pepper the white sandy beach. Seagulls fly above in the blue sky dotted with clouds. We sit down on a sand dune looking out to the sea. And Ginger tells me, if he had his time again, maybe he wouldn't have protested.
If I could go back to 2022, maybe I will not protest because my whole life was changed.
But I just want justice. I do hope that maybe in the future, China could change.
Our investigation has shown that Chinese police, with the complicity of doctors, are still abusing China's mental health law to lock away critics. And the survivors I've spoken to say they want accountability, transparency, and justice from a system that perpetuates a culture of self-censorship and obedience. We've put the accusations to Nantong No. 4 People's Hospital, Shenzhen Kangning Hospital, and the Chinese Embassy in the UK. The Chinese Embassy told us, law-based governance is a fundamental principle of China. Last year, the Chinese Communist Party reaffirmed that all work of the state is carried out under the rule of law. The law explicitly prohibits unlawful detention and other methods of illegally depriving or restricting citizens' personal freedom. This episode was presented by me, Nima Pratton. The producers were Lee Turong and Ruth Evans. The editor was Rebecca Henschke.
The OB does the ultrasound, and I'm looking at the monitor, and there's no baby.
This is the story of a young woman who faked pregnancy again and again.
Story after story after story.
Targeting birth workers with a web of lies.
That this was a pregnancy via assault.
She was going through a stillbirth at 24 weeks.
From CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's Baby, available now.